This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Okay, I think everybody's here. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to what looks like an exciting conversation on the agenda, more than one topic. So let's say we get started, upcoming budget sessions.
So for council, I've given you all some calendars. What I'm looking for is for you to tell me when you're not available, and then I will try to budget some times that around everybody's schedule. I'd also like to know what time of day you would prefer. Do you want the 7 a.m. meetings? Do you want after 5? I don't know what everybody's schedule is now that I think Mike would probably be available throughout the day. Myra probably is. And you could probably, I don't know what your schedule is. If we could block out, you know, a 1-4 in the afternoon a couple times, hear from the department heads, just let me know. And if it doesn't work, I'm sure we can accommodate whatever.
Is my box working?
Do you need to check with your box?
Well, I think Thursday mornings I have class, like 8 to 11. Other than that, I think the bosses would be willing to work with my schedule. So, outside of the Thursday mornings,
just mark that on your thing that Thursday mornings are no good for you. I had visited with Scott a little bit on Sunday. Right now is a good time for him to meet you. During the daytime, because he's not working out of town. But we'll usually get started around the end of March, that last week of March, we'll meet through April, and our first reading of the budget is May 21st, so we should be wrapped up by then. And then for the department heads, I've handed out your budget worksheets. If you need to run the numbers for you, look up information, I'll get it to you. I'll want those back, though, by the end of the month, maybe, so we can... I know you're going to go home and lay it on your counter, but in a month, I want that back.
It will have coffee on it.
And it'll have coffee. That's all I have on that.
Any questions? Give it to you today.
If you have your schedule, that's fine. Or just don't forget, I had to chase somebody down last year.
Who was that? Wasn't me. I just don't like having late for evening meetings.
Yeah, it gets to be a really long day.
My bedtime is earlier.
Oh, okay.
We'll have ice cream for you.
We'll have to have it in his living room so he can have a bowl of ice cream.
Any other questions on budget?
Well, I'll just tell you a story about Sam Rosenthal when he was first city attorney. They used to meet above the building that was here where the parking lot was. What was that building called?
Idaho?
No, this is the Idaho. Anyway, it was right where the parking lot was here next week. It was upstairs. The meeting started at 7. Sam Rosenthal had gone around to every city councilman and knew exactly what was going to happen the whole meeting. There was never a decision that was actually discussed in an open meeting. But anybody could come in and discuss any subject about anything for as long as they wanted. And so you would sit there and go to the meeting at 7 and you'd get over about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was never an agenda.
So you're recommending we don't do that policy?
Yeah. I'm glad it's new. I'm glad we need it. We don't meet at 7 either.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to... Animal care provider contracts.
So I sent you guys, because we were starting over, I had sent you the sample service contract that we had sent out before. I've modified it a little bit. Thank you, Myra, for your input. And then, Dennis, thank you for the public notice that I was going to put in the paper. I had sent that to you guys also. Dennis came back with, let's be really specific and tell them what we want if we're going to put this in the paper. Here. So I'm ready to do that. In the meantime, yesterday, I had, I got an email. I think Myra was on there and the mayor. And then they dropped off. The animal shelter has come back with another offer of $750 a month for March of this year through June of 25. And then they have their sample contract. In my opinion, I think we have to stay the course and do our advertising and do all this, especially when we had such pushback before. Even though we had reached out to people, I mean, we start with an ad in the paper. I also say that because somebody, and I don't know if it was somebody from the animal shelter this last week or if it was somebody else interested, they just said, well, how am I going to know when it's time to turn in something or that it's being bid out? And we said that it would be in the paper. So I think we have to stay the course and do that.
That'd be this week, Julie, this week's paper.
Well, it won't be in this week's because I had heard from Dennis, but I hadn't heard from the rest. Are you good with the edited? That ad will go in, and then I had said for March 7th and 14th, it will be the 14th and 21st.
Okay, part of the problem with your St. Francis contract is access that the police department is seeking. Is that specific enough to... It's okay.
Yeah, it gives us 24 hours
okay.
Access with the code.
That's
and two penalty.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Well, go with it.
So, and we'll get it advertised, and then I don't know that I'd like to use our contract, the one that we were always using. The shelter comes back with a modified one every time. Theirs doesn't have issuing dog licenses. And last time we met with them, I had asked them about that, and they were like, oh yeah, we forgot that. We'll put that in there. Well, they've forgotten it again. And we also got beat up a little bit on Facebook about how they're doing all the work and city takes all the money. So I'm fine with issuing the dog licenses from City Hall. It gives us probably a better list too. We're not waiting on them to turn it in, and we can update the PD, and if whoever has that contract, though, when they do get a dog, it's nice to have the licensing because then you have all the records. You know whose dog that could be. But it's something we'll work out, whoever gets the contract. So I will place that ad in the paper, and we'll start that way.
Okay. So just for my clarification, this is the same, what they're offering us now is what was offered before that they said no to, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm glad we got beat up over what we offered. Just my comment.
I don't understand their letter, what they're asking. Do you understand that?
No.
Can we talk about that? I can't. Are we going to talk about that?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I think it would be great if we're very clear on what are we asking for, and I don't know how this has gotten so complicated, but...
I don't think it changes anything.
Well, but the letter...
Well, the letter is basically... Well, keep my mouth shut on the letter, but... Yeah, I mean, the letter basically beats me up in the front, and then the back end says, but we'll go back and do what we were doing before. So, to me, I mean, nothing has changed. I mean, the police department never picked up cats, never dealt with cats. We strictly did it for stray dogs and dogs that were in our custody when we had an arrest or, you know, a serious incident where we needed Like, that doesn't change. I don't know what they're saying on the front end of this is.
So what I get, and I didn't have a chance to pull these two ordinances, but if our ordinances are worded the way that they've quoted them, then I do think we need to make changes in these ordinances.
Just to ordinances.
Yeah, just the wording on it to be clear.
First of all, I think that we must have a Scrivener's error in at the bottom where they reference ordinance 4-8. It states it shall be lawful for any person to restrain or take up any such animal. I think it shall be unlawful. That bottom paragraph. I think that if I go back and find the original ordinance, I think that has a typing error in there. But their interpretation, this is what I don't understand, that they interpret it because of our ordinance that nobody else can, or they can't accept animals from anybody but an officer?
Isn't that their purpose, is to accept stray animals?
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, you can check that ordinance, but I think that's the way it reads. It shall be lawful for any person to restrain and take it up. In other words, you're not kidnapping the dog if you're...
Is that up
there?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the code book, and that's what they're quoting. So I think they're saying exactly that, but I'm going to go back to the ordinance to see what the ordinance, you know, that might be where the mistake is made, is in translation from there.
Do you have the ordinance number? Or do you know?
No, but I can find it.
Okay.
14, 15.
415.
No, there it is.
Okay.
I think they're quoting code, but that's not the ordinance.
I think that's the code.
Oh, okay.
That's not the ordinance. And what about the removal of cats? Are they suggesting that cats are supposed to be taken care of by the police department?
Yes. That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. That they can say that all they want.
Ain't going to happen.
No.
Wyoming also says that a feral cat is also a predator, so they can be
shot.
Taken care of at any time, so they can go that route if they want.
What makes it a lot easier?
Sorry.
So,
speeding is against the law, too, but do we pull everybody over that does 1 mile over the speed limit? No. Like, there's discretion in it.
You don't? No. I'm going to speed up.
They will mean, they don't have the time or the personnel to drive around and look for stray cats, and if they do, then I'll have my officers. Take care of the feral cats.
Nor do you have the time to let every person who finds a stray dog bring it to you.
No,
they
can take it to the shelter, absolutely.
Yeah. So 100%. One final thought I have on the budget for this. We, the predator control board, we used to pay that through like the mayor's budget. And we have moved that to severance tax. I also would propose that we take this animal care provider contract and we pay that through our severance taxes. That there's a little bit of money that we give out to the children's center, all of those. We have trimmed that back, you know, over the past few years, but I think that this could find a home in that budget and not compete with our general fund. Something for thought as we move forward with the budget. I also find fault with this charging is $2 per resident. Again, there was only in 2023 one place in the United States that charged a per resident fee. I think, especially in a small community, that its fees are better served on actual numbers. So, actual numbers of dogs taken in, the amount of time they're in the shelter. I just don't like their rationale behind this that every resident should pay $2. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prefer to donate my money where I want to donate it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's for foster care, maybe it's to the animal shelter. Well, and it's $2 per resident for dogs only. They clarify that because we don't bring cats, if we bring cats, then that'll be... The price will go up.
But if I'm not mistaken, in the very second page of this letter, on the back end. It basically says, well, if we're not for currently picking up cats and the requested contract excludes cats, then the shelter will continue to accept stray cats from the public in the interest of the community. So they're still saying they're going to do exactly what they were doing before, but they just had to throw that first page in there.
Well, this is something that we will have to hash out as we move forward, because I also have issues, I guess, with the contract, with their availability to the public, running it as a shelter. It spells that out in here, but then they have such limited hours that they're open, so... Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be an on-call 24/7 person that can meet somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning at the shelter?
Well, we won't have to have that. They, our officers...
No, for somebody to pick up the dog.
Yeah.
Because it's costing our community members money. If they're not open and the dog has to stay there over the weekend, then they have to pay for that boarding when if they could have just gone and gotten their dog.
Well, that's not my problem.
What? Inconvenience of customer with a stray dog.
Yeah, we just kind of did that as a, you know, if we picked up a dog at 2 in the morning or something like that, or we had an incident where we had to take the dog and then an hour later somebody could call it or could get it, then yeah, we would meet him at the shelter and release him. That was more of us doing that as a favor to, you know, we didn't have to do that. I mean, we did that just as a courtesy to the folks that, you know, so that they were there. And then, but if that's how they want to do it, we're... Part of the issue was saying a lot of the folks, well, you know, but the other contract we had, well, he's not available, you know, from 8 to 5 because he's working. Well, is the shelter going to have an on-call person that they're going to bring in? Because if that's the case, then we're not going to do that. When I take that dog there and drop it off, we're done. I'm not going back, and we're not, you know, we can, have an emergency on-call person that can come and
release. Is he have to go release the dog? Does that mean that the police department is now the, what's their word, staff to operate the shelter?
Well, we're not. We just, if we go by this contract, once our animal is dropped off, then the police department is done with it. Like, that's on the shelter. If 20 minutes later somebody calls and says, oh, that's my dog, I'm going to say, well, they're going to have to come back in normal working hours, or because I don't want to get in the game of releasing from them, because now... We're kind of working for the shelter at that point. That's not what we were meant to do. So if we were to go by the letter of the law, like they want to do, then once the dog is dropped off, we're not going to go back in and release dogs. It's just not going to happen.
Mark. Any other questions, comments, cares, and concerns about the St. Francis Animal Shelter contract? Fun times. Major capital construction projects.
Yes, sir. So on the 15th, we opened the bids for the Sunset Street project. There was 4 bidders. The low bid for the concrete asphalt option. Little bid for the concrete was $2,184,899. And the little bid for the asphalt was $1,865,483.44. We've got $2,429,250 in ARPA funding. And then cities match the water and sewer, but $288,000 for water and also for sewer. So we've got the money to do it. There's also in this bid the engineering that's not on that, which engineering and contingency. Contingency is like $300,000-$350,000, which whether we use that or not, probably won't. It's just if we run into something, we don't. So it gets us up around that $3 million mark. I guess with that being said, where we've got the money, I would say probably go the concrete option.
Well, and this is ARPA funding, and we're going to have to turn back anything we don't use, and the state's going to turn it back, and they're trying to use all this ARPA funding. So, I mean, it would be, we have the money to do the concrete option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, it should last longer.
Yeah, it'll last longer. But, you know, we don't have to do chip seal concrete. I mean, we have to do some crack sealing from time to time. But it's, so, if you look at it that way, it's one less maintenance item.
Yeah.
But we will spend $596,000 from reserves to get that 2.4
in our. I like the concrete options because I think that's overall the best option, I think. But that's what we've gone with in the past, better from flat iron.
It's kind of the direction we're going. We have been going. I mean, yeah.
That'll be on the agenda tonight.
Okay. Once we put it on the agenda and we accept the bid, we talk with the property owners?
Yes, once we get that and get that done, then we'll set up some meetings that they can come to. And, you know, there's definitely things that need to be discussed yet.
But. Would that give the property owner an option to replace water and sewer lines while it's exposed?
Yes, so we're replacing, and that's going with the concrete, so it'll be new from back of curb to back of curb or back of sidewalk. Some of it has sidewalk, some of it doesn't, so it's going to be new streets from there to there. And we will do on the city the water and sewer line from there to their curb stop valve. Now, if they want to go outside of the street from there to their house, there'll be an opportunity for them to do them, but it'll be at their cost.
Yep.
So, but everything under the street will be new. I do believe that the MDU is even looking at moving a gas line that's currently under the street. So that'll be out of there. That's one less thing.
And that would be an MDU's cost?
Yeah, that's MDU's deal. Okay. Yeah.
Sweet.
Nice. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. And then, any other questions on that? Good. The meter replacement projects shooting to kick off around April 1st. It's kind of what we're shooting for. We talked about the digester pond and the storage pond cleaning. Been in contact with those folks. So as soon as the ice goes off of those ponds, that'll get underway. Get those cleaned out. And then I believe I talk to you about those mixers in the north tank. We put $100,000 in maintenance, and we budgeted for water plant maintenance, and we can use that money to put those mixers in that tank. So, and that will be, as soon as the frost goes out of the ground, we'll get the electrical put in for that, and then we'll put those in.
I have a question on the meter thing. I was talking the other day, and you said there's a wire being ran. I guess in my mind, I was thinking that was all Bluetooth, so they're going to have to trench a wire?
No, it just goes from the meter that's in the water line up to the radio transmitter that is on the outside of the house or in the house.
Right, so it's a trench from there to somewhere on the house or in the house? Or
well, if the meter is in the house,
yeah,
then it'll just run up and be on the wall of the house.
Oh, okay.
If it's in a meter pit, the meter is in there, and then the transmitter will just come up and be at the surface. Usually they just go right below the lid of the meter.
So is the valve in the meter? The shut-off valve?
Well, we're not doing shut-off valves.
Like you said, we can shut it off from here.
Not with the meters we're putting.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's a...
That is an option.
$100 meter.
But not
with what we're doing. Oh, I thought that's what we were doing. Okay.
Yep.
Can they use the old wire to your old remote?
I don't believe so. I believe it has to be a new wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to start that education campaign to the community. That, I mean, what their trucks are going to look like, and you know, it'll be the city and them. They'll be, you'll be contacted, get into your house to change out this stuff, and if you have any questions, call City Hall.
And let me know. We can put that on our Facebook too, so we're not giving them any calls about.
You're out catching cats, can you?
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing I have to bring up is the Wells project.
I just heard the clerk sigh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do with this because we have funding for some of it. For we had $1.2 million in water development grant funding. And all of the engineering money has been spent, all of that. But we still have, you know, quite a bit of money there. This is that project that's 6 years, 5 years old now. We asked them to put it in the legislature this year because it has to go through the omnibus water bill. That's a big word. And so we asked them, would you give us, will you carry this forward? So that's going through the legislature now.
For a two-year extension.
For a two-year extension. Of that $1.2 million that we have, we also have to match it with $609,000. But we're still $1.1 million short based on what the estimate is. It's time to go to bid if we're going to do this, but do we want, I mean, $1.1 million. We did go after ARPA funding for that. We were, I'll remind you, we were rated the highest score that go around. And then they said, but we're going to do something different this time. We're going to give the money to anybody who didn't get any money. So, I mean, we were rated highest. It's qualified, you know, all of this. If the state would turn around and say, this ARPA funding that we can't use, you know, throw it at it, you know. It would be great, but that didn't get any legs. We didn't chase that one, you know, do there. So, we do have some water reserves, but remember there's matching funds on the meters, there's matching funds on the Sunset Waterline, there's
the Main Street
Waterline that we have to do. It goes fast, but I don't know what we do with this Wells project when we got it so ready. And we're saying, could you carry that money forward and we're going to do this project, and then we either need to spend the money to do it or turn the water development money back that we just asked them to carry forward. And
Julie, my understanding of the project is that the water would only be used during the times that there was contamination of our water supply?
Correct.
Emergency situations.
I just think that's so remote that it's going to be, there's going to be contamination which would require
us to use it.
To use it. And
could we use
it? And we have an existing well now, right?
We do have a well up there, and that's our raw water. Is what that is.
Well, but you could direct. Couldn't you direct that raw water to the plant to treat it?
Possibly. The way, since we built the new plant, that's changed. That it's not directly into the plant. I mean, I suppose it could be done that.
Might
way.
Be a cheaper option to look at doing that of redirecting our raw water supply into the plant and have a valve or something you could turn into the plant. It's $1 million.
Well, you know, the other option that was talked about is do part of the project, but we've discussed that too. Doing part of the project doesn't just get you in a bind too.
What are the repercussions other than just sending? Is it like, if we apply for grants again, do we get the, well, you had it and you turned it back, you didn't do it in the future? Is that a possibility?
Well, it could. Could be, but I mean, we're already on the hook for 609,000, and then now to add 1.1 million. I think I anybody who would say, well, we gave you money once, you know, we're talking almost $2 million that were coming up out of our pocket. Now, that is the engineer's estimate. Who knows what it'll be when we really bid it, but.
Well, Wyoming Water Development Commission money will always be there. I mean, there'll always be funding by the legislature, right, Mike?
Yes.
Because they're. They,
well, who knows that?
Yes.
Who knows after yesterday?
Well, I know. But with the whole business going on with the Colorado Basin and the need to protect water supplies, people in the state believe that this is one of the most important things to do is protect and use your water rights. So they will always fund the Water Development Commission, period. I'm just convinced of that.
Will they give us an additional
$1.1
million right now?
Well, they should. And they've got it.
Yeah. Even if it's just matching percentages, yeah.
This is, it's not done yet.
The wells are drilled. It's not tied into the plant. None of the pumps are put in. None of the infrastructure is into them. Mm-hmm.
And then you see if these wells don't get used, say, 5-10 years down the road, say, well, you know, we ought to do this some kind of a problem with the well.
They would have to be exercised, you know. I mean, yeah. And
perforations blown out.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Airlift and all that would have to be done before we would go to do anything, mm-hmm. if we choose not to do it.
Could we use the wells for anything else?
Not really at this point. I mean, not without putting in the infrastructure. I mean, you got to get power to them and pump them.
But if we did this whole thing, say we spent the extra money and we have this, we're only going to use it for an emergency?
Well, it could be used in the spring of the year, you know, when there's a lot
of... water's bad?
Yeah, well, when the water's... Yeah. No, it's good. It's just...
it's safe.
It's organic.
It's a little boosty.
It's full of nutrients.
They could be blended.
You're fine.
The 1 point... What is it, 1 point that we're short?
1.1.
Could that $1.1 million be better spent, in your opinion, working on or doing preventative maintenance on what we already have?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got tank repairs that are coming up, SCADA systems, filtration systems that are okay now. I mean, it's not like they're imminent, but in the next few years, something needs to be done with them. So. Yeah, I mean, and I'm talking to the tune of $1 million+ for that stuff, you know, just rough numbers. But. So, if I had to choose the wells or the infrastructure, I would probably have to go with the infrastructure just to, you know, maintain what we have rather than adding something new.
Well, will there be future funding? I mean, I would think there's future funding from... Water development, or
so.
That's my question. Can we continue to put in for it? So here's the other thing. There's the state revolving fund. They kind of changed their process this year, but there's the intended use plan that you get your projects on. And before, everybody would just throw every project on this intended use plan. And it's just really clogged up now with all these projects that never get built. So this year they said, only put projects on there that you're going to chase funding for this year. And there's some deadlines. The first one, I think, is right around the corner, like March 10th, to get our projects on there. And I think that we need to get the tank repair on there. And we could do SCADA if we're willing to chase the funding for it. And then once it's on there, then it stays on there. So we probably, remind me of that, we need to get those on there.
Yeah.
But do we wait for that process? You know, they meet however often, going through that process. do we sit on this? We have 2 years to spend the water development money, and then they're going to...
I'm sure we can have it spent faster than 2 years.
Yeah, well, so we stumbled a little with the engineer. He keeps now pushing us because we're not paying him anything, but he did get it ready to bid, and he'll see it through the bidding process. He didn't see it through construction.
Yeah, he'll see it all the way through now.
And not charge anything because he spent all his money already. So he's ready to go to bid, but now we're putting him off going, hold on a minute, we don't know if we have that money.
You know, to Des's point on contamination, I think one of the big things they worry about, especially up here, is anything above that diversion getting a fire and then runoff. You know, I was down in Barn one time on a fire, we got a hard rain during the fire, it turned everything running water black. That's pretty hard to treat. That would be a time, let it run by, turn the wells on. So it's remote, but that's when you talk about contamination of the water supply, you're not talking necessarily about some kind of poison or
spill
or something like that. My biggest thing would be up above the diversion where we can't pick up that water out of it, too. Big fire and a snow running off, rain, something, just turning everything, because it's a mess when it happens. So, you know, you got that. Which is remote, you know, Forest Service been up there working, they've done some burns, and that's what that was for, was the watershed.
In the event that did happen, is that water for certain untreatable?
Well, so we do have storage in our ponds, so we could initially, I mean, it depends on how long it lasts up there, how long it would take to settle out, but I mean, we've got, you know, 3-4 days probably storage that we could run off of, and I mean, that could possibly be extended if we went into emergency type situation.
Do have emergency action plans
should
the water get contaminated.
It's coming down a mud stream. Not much you can do with it. Depends on the extent of the contamination, I suppose. So it's kind of hard to answer. But.
I guess if I remember right, this was before my time on council, they did a lot of studying on alternative backup water sources, different wells or pipe from Lake Smitter that Madison Wells. I know they looked at a half a dozen different alternatives, and this Wells project was the one that won out, I guess, as the most economical at the time. Now it's probably more expensive than the other options, but I think there has been some study on if it was needed and how. And I'd kind of like to see if we think we're going to need it at all at any time in the future, it's never going to get cheaper. If we do it, and if we decide to wait and do it 3 years from now, it's probably going to be double the cost again or something. And that's the tough part. How do we figure it out? It's 700,000 is not bad math. 1.8 million matches. Makes it a little tougher to decide.
And to your point, you know, obviously Water Development was convinced of it, that was a good project.
Yeah.
And again, SLIV was convinced, you know, it was a good project until they said, well, we want to be fair and give everybody money. So even though we were ranked the highest.
Participation trophies.
If you look at a growth, I think we need to look at a Madison well. I mean, something, if we're going to spend the money, we'll spend the money. How many wells can you drill for $3 million? Or we're talking about this Bull Creek Reservoir for how many hundreds of millions of dollars? How much does it cost to drill a well? I mean,
well, the drilling the well is fine. It's the, you know, we talked about piping Peggy Drury's water to us. Well, that was $10 million. I mean,
Like this Smith's $7 or $10 million to get water here, I think. They're all ridiculous.
But I mean, if we could do it somewhere closer to where we're at, just do the well ourselves, have our own well. I mean, you're looking at, we're not going to get much more water rights as far as, you know, these old water rights for expansion in the future. We're going to have to come up with a new source of water, I mean, one way or another. So it's just, where do you spend the money? Because the water rights aren't there. So going down the road, you know, you do something like that, you're gaining water for growth. But just something to think about.
So no answer.
It is a lot, but we do have water has the most in reserve right now. And the good thing, what, another couple of years we'll have the loans paid off, and then we'll actually have the what we're paying in loan payments. We should just turn that and start putting that back in infrastructure every year, because we'll have several hundred thousand. We're not paying the loans that could be catch up on this. So I think, yeah, I guess I'm in support of doing it now, just getting it done while we got all the preliminary work done. If we pick it up in a few years later, it's going to cost more engineering to bring everything back up to specs, and it give us a good option if something catastrophic happens. Right now we're good for a 2 or 3 day, but if we get a 2 week event, something up there, who knows what it is, we're going to be hauling water in tankers from Gillette.
Okay. Well, we've just talked about a lot of fun stuff, but anything else on the... Any other questions on water? Anything else? Department heads, that, you got anything else?
No, thank you.
Legal?
No.
No. Madam Clerk? Fire Chief?
Though I thank God, as Kirk Cavanaugh, I'll be coming to your meeting tonight to ask for permission to burn his branch pile down there. And right out in the middle of that big old pasture behind St. Francis, it'll back out. Mm-hmm. It's at the campground. He has moved the pile. It used to be kind of over there closer to the fence to Greenleaf. He's moved it out into the middle. He said he'd wait for snow before he burn it. He's just coming to ask for a variance on the ordinance. There won't be a date on it, obviously, because if he's granted the variance, he's got to wait on weather. But as far as fire is concerned, we're fine with it.
It has your blessing. Can we have fireworks during?
That's different. This should stay right in one spot.
Ground fireworks only.
Not much for me. Friday was a tough day, but City Buffalo represented very well. I was very proud of everybody that was up there and of the folks that had to man the ship here while we had most of our resources in Sheridan. So kudos to everybody that helped us out, and we appreciate it, and we appreciate all the support. New vests, everybody is now wearing their new vests. All our equipment came in, our plates, soft armor, accessories, so we're up and running with that. The new vest from what Mr. Moreland gave for us for that, so very appreciative. We're about as we have the most updated technology in the vest, and so we're about as much coverage as we can have, so very thankful for that. I can't remember, we did lose our new officer that we hired in December. He came in and resigned pretty much the day after Sergeant Krinke was killed, his wife, just saw the reality of what was going on. They struggled with it, so they actually are leaving Wyoming and going to Florida. So we are back now to being down an officer. Again, the hard part is we invest a lot of money in uniforms. I mean, I ordered him a brand new vest, and of course that comes the day after he resigns. So I have to find somebody that's 120 pounds and 5'8". So that narrows the field.
We'll
be able to,
good luck.
Yeah, we'll be able to fix that. So yeah, that's difficult. I've looked at a couple numbers, and my old department that I worked for in Baltimore County, they're down 262 officers. Baltimore City is down 534. So to say that we are struggling to get applicants and folks that want to do this job, and then they sign up, and then we have an incident like happened in Sheridan, the reality is what it is. So people are starting to realize that it's not worth the risk nor the headache of getting criticized every single day for what you do. So, with that being said, though, we do have a couple applicants. I did have an applicant from the jail reach out and put it and applied. So, what we're doing is working, I think, with closing the gap. So, Let's see. Other than that, I think we're that's all I have. So.
Well, thanks for everything you did on Friday. Thanks for everything you did since.
Yeah, it was. It's very powerful to watch. I mean, kudos to everybody that went to Sheridan. I mean, when we left the procession, they had us up front, so after Sheridan went by with the hearse, and to watch thousands of people stand shoulder to shoulder, and you could have heard a pin drop. I mean, the only thing you could hear was the flags waving and just the amount of support, and it was a very, it was a powerful thing to see, and the send-off they did, and the service was wonderful, so it was well done.
Follow that.
Sorry.
I need to put on the agenda tonight Big 85 Properties, 4th and Main, or 4 South Main Street, for a special use permit for new residential in a B3 zone. This went before Planning and Zoning Commission last Tuesday, and they recommended it for approval. What they're doing is just putting an apartment above the restaurant, basically. And so the recommendation Planning and Zoning is to allow it, so they're going to be asking for that tonight for your guys' approval.
Dennis gets a neighbor?
Yeah.
They are.
You guys connect your balconies, you can have, like, barbecue.
Crowd. I hear you say that would be sprinkled with alarm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They've already started cutting the axes from the top level out directly to the outside, which is part of the code too now you gotta have. So, and they'll have a set of stairs just for exit.
They have the exit fire access, the fire exit back in the back.
Yeah.
Is that what they're gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then again, sprinkle the whole building. So.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for an apartment.
Yeah.
Other than that, I had someone reach out. There gonna be some tree trimming. Did you get my email on that? And kind of, I don't know where you guys sit on that, between if we need to get some, just the switchbacks from the diversion dam up the hill there to Grouse Mountain or whatever that is up there on those last week, but we communicate with him back and forth of when really that is. And
then we'll put, the trail board will put it on Facebook.
Okay. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
I don't think everything additional.
Yes, ma'am. Since we're talking about fun and exciting things, I went to the JOCO board meeting, and the topic of conversation is now the roof. It's gone from the boiler to the roof. So, don't have exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure we might need some nitro in the room when those numbers come out. Pop under our tongues, Mike. So, not to give away any numbers, but to, yeah, don't have the exact numbers in yet, but it's not pretty at all. And then, council, we went to the WAM meeting, and for those that attended, know what I'm talking about. For those that didn't attend, here's one of the topics of conversation when we talk about water funds and SLIB and sewers is, what's the first question that they ask? Have you adjusted your rates? So I think we're going to have that conversation of looking at water rates and or restructuring how we charge or whatever, but you kind of get the thumbs down if you haven't looked at your water rates and your sewer rates for a while. I think the quote was, if you're not going to help yourself, much of it will help you. Maybe not those harsh words.
And I feel that while we haven't had a water rate increase or a sewer rate increase for a while, I think we have extensively studied our water rates. We had public hearings. Mike Markowski was in here. So our structure probably should be adjusted before our water rate, I would say, just because I've sat with these numbers, you know, for so long. But for them to just say, well, you got to change
raise your water rates because everybody else is raising their water rates as well. I think it needs to be based on what your needs are. We have water that comes right down the creek. It's pretty easy to treat right now. We don't have wells that, or a pipeline from like Worland pipes their water in. It's different needs. Thermopolis water is different than ours, so to say we should charge what, and that's what I've seen councils get into all the time. It's like, we'll call around every like-size town and see what they charge. Well, you, it's different water. It's different processes, so I think you set your rates based on what your needs are, your infrastructure, and you cover your costs for that.
I think the other thing, too, is we were asking around to different communities, even though that's different, is we give a rule 10,000.
Yeah.
And every other city, it's way lower. Like, most were zero. It's like you pay, you don't get so much water for it. You pay for all the water you use. So that's...
And that's where I talk about structure. I think the rate structure should be really looked at.
That's true. But there'll be that fun conversation coming up. Probably more push works and purpose. Other than that, I think there was some good conversation at hand. At the legislature and at WAM, one of our council members' name was brought up quite often, and it wasn't anybody that was there.
What's this all about?
The Madden Matrix.
Oh.
I don't know, Mike, if there's some way, maybe at the summer WAM, or at some point, if you would be willing to meet with some folks. And it all came up, as you know, on the direct distribution, on how the formula came about. So I guess I can't make you, because you're bigger, stronger than I am. But I would encourage you to, maybe if we could get together with the WAM folks, figure out a time to have a conversation with, or at the District 2 regional meetings, or at some point, to help us all understand the Madden Matrix that gets thrown around every year at the legislature. So you'll never be forgotten at the legislature. But I told him I'd ask. So there was the ask. And that's all I have. Councilwoman.
So the survey questions with comprehensive plan they've been approved by planning and zoning, approval from Brent Moore, the consultant. So I really think we're ready to apply this survey. I think we should really promote it because it gives us excellent information, even on Balmer Mountain or a community building. The Trails Board added some questions to help with their master plan. So with your blessing, I'd like to be able to work with Terry and get it into city software and publish a QR code, put it on our website. There will be a margin of error because we'll have people who don't live in the city or Johnson County. I would like a question just so we can disaggregate the data from city residents to county residents. I think everybody in this county uses Buffalo, our county seat, and so I think they should have a voice too, but it would be nice to look at different comparisons and what the data shows us. So I'll get the survey out to you all so you can see how the questions have evolved and what's been added. But I think we're ready to go forward and get this stuff in.
Is there a question? Are you a resident of the city of Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay. And then we just kind of go on the honor system.
Well, and when you look at your data, you know that you've got a certain margin of error.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Thank you for sticking around, joining us.
Ask me that halfway through the budget session.
Yeah.
Whether it's press. Any questions, cares, wants, concerns? Okay. If there's nothing more for the good of the order,
before 8.
Announcements. Next department head meeting is April 2nd. I'm always hoping we get one on April 1st. Maybe not.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.